Thank you for joining us today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. This is episode 47. Today on the show, we're talking with Kat Lee. She is a blogger and a podcaster and has quite a lot on her plate. But I think you will love as much as I did her attitude of service. She really cares about people, and a lot of her mission and focus is to help change people's lives. Kat shares so much wisdom with us today, and I know that you are going to love our conversation that we had with her. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Kat Lee. She's a writer, blogger, speaker, and podcaster. She blogs and podcasts at inspired2action.com and howtheyblog.com. She's traveled with and is an advocate for Compassion International. Her ebook, Maximize Your Mornings, has been downloaded over 15,000 times and launched a thriving community called Hello Mornings. Recently, Kat gave the keynote speech at the Declare Conference and taught about how to blog like a ninja. Kat and her husband live in Texas with their three children. She loves running, God, and Tex-Mex food, not necessarily in that order. Welcome to the show, Kat. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. It's fun to be here. It's fun to be on this side of an interview.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family, but then also how you got started in your various businesses and more about those businesses?
Sure. Well, I live in Texas, and I've lived here since I was about 7 years old, so I am a tried and true Texan. And we live in the glorious city of Waco, Texas, which doesn't have a great reputation, but I think that's changing a little bit because Baylor is doing awesome, and there's some great TV shows coming out of Waco now. And yeah, and my husband Jimmy and I have been married for 16 years, and then then we have three kids, 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. The oldest two are girls, and the youngest is a boy. And I started blogging actually when I had my very first daughter 12 years ago. Well, and it wasn't really called blogging then. So I took a online, I think it was just called an HTML class. Maybe it was called a web design class through our local community college. And basically just learned HTML. And in order to keep the grandparents up to date, I would share a picture on a page, and then the next day I would code a new page. You know, it wasn't like there, I don't think there was WordPress back then, or either that or I missed it. And so then I started doing some web design, and then I had to do web design for a guy named Sean Groves, and he ended up going on to lead the Compassion Blogger. It's like an arm of Compassion International, where they take bloggers on trips around the world to see kind of the impact that they have on kids and communities in some impoverished nations. And so I started doing web design. And then as I was reading Sean's blog, as I was working on it, I was so inspired by just what he was sharing and the discussion and the life happening there. So I started my own blog that was called The Secret Life of Kat. And then just, you know, I tried a couple other things. Some things worked, some things didn't. Then I kind of put it all aside when I had my third child because it was a little overwhelming. But then in 2010, I just really felt like I wanted to start something new, and I really wanted to help moms. So I started inspired2action.com. And that's when my blogging and online stuff really took off. And I started out by writing that ebook, Maximize Your Mornings. And when I wrote it, I thought, well, you know, I don't really think an ebook about getting up early is going to go over all that well. But surprisingly, it did, and it got shared by some people that had a lot of influence, and it started a community called Hello Mornings, which serves women in like 40 different countries, and it's just an amazing community. And so then out of that, I started How They Blog, which was just to kind of share what I learned along the way. And then also really because I'm curious about how other people do things. So as a podcast, it's really fun to just interview other people and be able to learn alongside my listeners. And then what else do I have? That's all I can think of right now, I think.
It sounds like how they blog, the reason for starting that is so similar to Sarah and I with Brilliant Business Moms, because really we just felt like, okay, we want to learn from these other moms who are at home with their kids, but they also have businesses on the side. So it's been a lot of fun.
I think that makes the best podcasts, honestly, because then the interviewer is so much more engaged and so much more interested and can really pull out the real life information that they want from the interviewee. And that's really what the listener ends up wanting as well. So I think that's a great way to start.
Well, I think I've decided when I looked at your Hello Mornings website, I think I have to sign up for the new session in October.
Come on.
It seems like a fantastic idea. There are so many things out there to encourage better mornings, which getting up earlier is something I want to work towards. I think it would help so much to start my day off a little bit better. It's not horrible now, but there's a lot of room for improvement. But I think your idea of building those accountability groups and community is such a great idea. How did you come up with that particular aspect of doing the Hello Mornings in that way instead of just as a blog post series or something?
Well, you know, it actually wasn't my idea. So I had the ebook and it was out there and people enjoyed it. But then I had a reader come to me and her name was Michelle. And she said, hey, what if we made this into a group challenge? And I thought, well, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And so we started out and we decided to put people in groups instead of it just being, you know, blog posts going up. We wanted to really help people. And it's so easy for in the online world for people to be inspired and then fall through the crack. What if we put people into groups so that they could be accountable to one another? And so we did, and we had people sign up, and we had, I think the first time was a couple hundred people, and it grew to a couple thousand. And then it hit a point when I would just be sitting in Starbucks with a spreadsheet organizing people by their wake-up time, their time zone, and fitting them together with an accountability captain in groups of no more than 12. And y'all, I am not a details person. So my brain would just explode. And so it actually got to a point a couple years into it when I was just like, I need to step back from it. And so then a girl named Katie Orr kind of took it over and helped get things in order and stuff. And then in the past year or so, I've come back in. And I think in that process, something that's important for bloggers or women who do business or whatever it is, just to recognize their strengths. And for me, those details were not my strengths. My strengths are inspiring people, coming up with strategy, getting vision, encouraging people, you know, hopefully just leading well. And details, those were not my strength. And it was important for me to recognize that and step out of that role and give it to somebody whose strength that actually was.
Very smart.
So, Kat, speaking of Hello Mornings and, you know, starting off the day intentionally, how do you get all of your work done as a blogger, podcaster, speaking at some conferences? What does a typical day look like for you?
I usually try to get up pretty early. It used to feel much earlier, but now my kids get up really early too. But I get up about 5:30, and now in this season when my kids are in school, it gives me about 30 minutes or so just to spend time with God and get my day in order, look at my to-do list, and maybe do a little bit of exercise just to get my blood pumping and make sure I'm awake. And then I have to get my kids up and off to school, and so I'm back to my office at about 8. And then I usually just kind of have a to-do list. I love the app Todoist.com. And so I'll just spend the first few minutes in there, if I hadn't already done it earlier in the day, just kind of ordering, okay, what do I want to do? When do I want to do it? And if I'm feeling super organized, then I have an app on my iPad where I actually schedule those things in and list how much time each one is going to take. And then it has a timer on it, so I just click play, and then my competitive self takes over, and I try to make sure that I finish all those tasks within all those timelines. And when I have a really busy season, that helps me a lot. But now my kids are in school all day, so it gives me a good 5 hours in the middle of the day to get some stuff done. But I've realized that it's really important for me to recognize, I think I can be kind of optimistic. So sometimes I can want to get so much done and think that I can get all that done, but in reality, you know, I need to eat lunch. I need to use the restroom. I need to get a glass of water. I can't just work straight through. So it's been helpful for me to also realize what you know, be more realistic about what I can accomplish in a day. So I'm not just discouraged at the end of a day. But yeah, typically I'll work on things during that 5 hour period. And then I try not to really do anything related to work after that, because I want to focus on my kids after school. And then the evenings, I try to read a book or relax or something.
Those apps sound really interesting. Could you say them one more time?
Sure. I use Todoist.com, just to-do, and then IST, Todoist.com. And it's just a really simple, clean to-do list application that also allows you to collaborate with other people, and has, you can use it on your phone, on your iPad, really on anything. Then I also like to use, it's an iPad app called 3030. It's like 30/30. And I like that one because I can list in all the things I want to get done and how much time they're going to take. And then if I click play, it has like this big countdown timer. So if I say I'm going to finish editing this podcast in 60 minutes, I have this big timer, you know, showing me how much time I have left. And it just helps me to manage my time better, to not get as distracted. I also like the app Coffeetivity. It's a website as well. And basically that just gives like coffee shop background noise when you're working. It sounds really dorky, but it is so nice when you work at home. And my husband works at home too, so I can hear him in his meetings a little bit. But just it makes you feel like you're not just sitting there actually all by yourself. And it, for some reason, helps me to stay motivated. So I like that one. And of course, I like to listen to music, too. So I listen to that in conjunction with Pandora. Unless I'm editing a podcast, then obviously then I can't do that. But
so you've got coffee shop background noise plus Pandora music, and you're trying to race against the timer to see what you can get done.
Pretty much.
That sounds like a very interesting work environment. I'm not sure.
It's worth
the timer. I definitely want to try that.
Yeah.
It's a combo of my love for people, I think. So hence the coffee shop atmosphere. Then when I listen to music, it's usually something like Yo-Yo Ma. So classical cello music, which is makes me feel like I'm really smart. And then I am super competitive and love sports. And so the timer just is awesome for that.
That's perfect. Now, speaking of efficiency, you gave a talk called Blogging Like a Ninja about how you're able to be efficient and get more done as a blogger. Are there any more tips other than maybe the timer tip that we just talked about that you could share with everybody?
Sure. I think the best tip that I can give is, I always do this example where I think every blogger, and honestly, this is applicable to anybody in any role, no matter what they're trying to accomplish, we all wear three hats. And I call those the CEO hat, the manager hat, and the writer hat. And when we sit down to work, we need to know which hat we're putting on, and we need to make sure we only have that one hat on. So I'll use the example of as a blogger. This is how I would normally in the past sit down to work. I sit down at my computer. I'm like, oh, I should write something. I don't know what to write. What am I going to write? Maybe I should go check Facebook. Maybe Facebook will give me some inspiration as to what to write. So then I go there, and an hour later, after I've read random articles about whatever from The Onion, I realize, oh, my blog time is up, and I've written nothing. So to counteract that, what I've learned to do is that maybe once a month or so, I need to sit down, maybe at a coffee shop, maybe just with my coffee shop app, but sit down and put on my CEO hat and think, okay, Where am I headed? What are my long-term goals for this blog, for this online presence, for the influence that I have online? Then I write down those long-term goals. Then maybe later, I put on my manager hat. And my manager hat says, okay, how can I make those goals a reality? What steps need to be put in place? What projects do I need to work on? Which project is most important? And just learning to break down those goals and then prioritize the different tasks that I need to do and break it down so that when I sit down to write, I can put on my writer hat. And the writer is the lowliest form of the little worker bees that we have, meaning that when I sit down to write, I look at what my manager told me that I need to write, and I just write it. There's no question. There's no thinking, oh, what should I write today? And then picking something else and then getting distracted. I just trust that my CEO self picked out great goals and has a great vision for where I'm going as a blogger. Then my manager self broke it down in a way that makes sense and in a way that's going to be really effective. And then so that as a writer, I can stop second guessing myself and stop trying to make decisions. And instead, I can just focus and write and get it done. And just putting on those different hats and separating those tasks so it doesn't all get jumbled together has been hugely, hugely effective for me, and I think can be really effective for anybody in any role that they have.
That sounds like a great idea. I'll have to give that a try. I'm not sure. I'm trying to think for podcasting how that, I guess, I mean, we are always writing our show notes and doing those things and then figuring out our bonus episodes. So I'm sure it's the same principle of looking at those bigger goals and then breaking them down. So,
or, you know, it could be, you know, if you're wanting to rank in a certain category, you know, some of those, that could be your CEO goal. And then some of the manager projects, you could look and see, okay, what are the top five podcasts? Let me listen to those. What are the great elements of those? And then how can I implement those elements into my podcast? And then you break those down into projects, and then your little podcast yourself just goes out and does those things.
That's awesome. So speaking of podcasting, you have two podcasts of your own. Can you share a little bit of advice on how you went about launching those and then growing your podcast audience?
Oh, I have to say, I wasn't particularly strategic about it. I just started podcasting. I do really enjoy speaking. I think fundamentally, I enjoy encouraging people. And I do that most easily and I think most effectively just by talking. So writing has always been a challenge for me, and I'm not necessarily one of those people who has always filled up journals and that sort of thing. So I much prefer to talk and to encourage people that way. So I just started doing it. And I think one thing that helped me in the beginning was just to fake it till I made it. Because one of the I'd done a couple interviews or a couple podcasts, and those were mostly solo shows. And one of the first interviews I did was with a guy named Andy Andrews, and his marketing people, I guess, contacted me about interviewing him for a book he had coming out. And as more I researched about him, the more I realized that he was a pretty big deal, like New York Times bestseller. He's met with presidents. He's like done talks for NATO. I mean, just all these things. And I was like, oh, wow. And here I am sitting in my little closet office, stay-at-home mom, interviewing him. And I decided before I got on the call with him, I was like, he doesn't know any different. For all he knows, I am a highly professional podcaster who has done this for years. And so we got on the line, and I just kind of, you know, graciously and kindly, but kind of told him exactly how I was going to do things, what it was going to look like, the goal, how we were going to help the listener, and just very much led the interview. And it went great, and that was just an excellent precedent for me as I went into all the other interviews and things that I've done, just to, whether I actually do have a lot of experience or not, just act like I do, because that's really, you know, a lot of times our how we actually do things, our actions can follow our attitude. So that's one thing that helped me a lot in the beginning. I haven't necessarily promoted it or done anything strategic to build my audience. I already had a relatively successful blog, so I think that obviously helped a lot. And then I'm also on Tish Oxenreider's podcast, The Art of Simple, which that obviously helps me whenever I'm a regular guest on there. And so that obviously helps as well whenever one of those episodes comes out. Other than that, I've just tried to stay as consistent as I can be as far, you know, so much so that it fits into my schedule. I have to say I haven't been particularly strategic. I feel like podcasting is a little bit more mysterious. I don't always understand exactly how iTunes ranks things and that sort of thing.
I heard that you're talking about starting a podcast mastermind group. What's the motivation behind that, or how are you getting that started?
Well, actually, I'm not looking to, it's not something that I'm starting that's sort of a paid type thing. I actually just have a group of podcasters that I chat with on Voxer. So it's not something that I'm the expert of. It's with Tish Oxenreider and Stephanie Langford and Heather McFadden and Crystal Evans Hurst. And I think that's it. I'm probably leaving somebody out, and that's awful. But basically, it's just a group of women who also podcast, and we're just chatting on there and trying to help each other through different issues and obstacles that we come up with. So it's not something that I'm launching or anything like that, but it is something that I highly recommend to people starting out in anything, just to have a mastermind group. I have that one, and then I also have a blogging one with some other friends. And it has been so encouraging and life-giving and helpful because there are people who know more than I do, and I can ask questions, and then sometimes I can help them. So it's something that I definitely encourage people to try to do, and Voxer is a great way to do that. I forgot to mention that in my list of apps, but Voxer is one of my favorite apps, I think, right now.
I definitely haven't heard of that one, so I will look into that. But I think you made a good point about mastermind groups. I think, at least for me, when I think of a mastermind group, I think of kind of paying to be part of a group, you know, maybe not knowing most of the people in the group at first. But I think you made a good point that a mastermind group can be something that you form with just like-minded individuals to challenge each other and grow. And that could be applied to so many different business avenues, whether it's podcasting or crafting or blogging or whatever. So that's a great idea to just challenge each other as friends.
Oh, and then there's no barrier of entry. So if you don't have the funds to join a mastermind group, and a lot of times ones that have been already organized are actually quite expensive when it comes to the area of business or anything like that. So if you form one, and I have to say too that feel free to ask people that you might not think would want to join it, because you really never know how much of a community they have online, regardless of how successful they are or they aren't. And you never know whether or not they already have something like that. So as you look to find people to join a mastermind group, really put kind of a wish list of people, the people that really inspire you and that you connect with at a good level. And feel free to ask them and be okay with no's, because the more no's you get, the more likely you are to get some really, really great yeses.
I love that advice. I think we need to get on it, Sarah. Well, Kat, I was a bit curious in terms of you coming on to Tish's podcast as a regular guest, or maybe I should say co-host.
Yeah, okay. I think that might be what she calls it.
Okay. She's a pretty big name in the blogging, podcasting world. How did that partnership form?
Yeah, that was actually kind of funny. We met at IKEA, and then we're roommates together for 7 days on the other side of the world. So the backstory on that is that guy, Sean Groves, that I built his website for, he ended up working for Compassion Bloggers. And then he invited me to be a part of the Compassion team, the Compassion Blogger team that went to the Philippines. And Tish was also on that same team. And when we found out we lived near each other at the time, she was from Austin and I live in Waco, we met at an IKEA. And we just kind of hit it off. And then when we got to the Philippines, we ended up being roommates together. And we've just been good friends since then and just kind of hit it. I think our personalities blend well. We always talk about Myers-Briggs stuff. And I think our personalities are nicely opposite, like complementary, I suppose you could say. So, yeah, we just like chatting. And so we thought we would do it and record it at the same time.
That's great. That's another thing we need to add to our list, too, Sarah, is taking the Myers-Briggs.
Oh, I know. Everyone keeps talking about that. Anne Bogle keeps talking about all that.
Oh, yes.
We have no idea what we are, other than that we are very opposite, too.
Yes.
So, well, there's plenty of free online ones, and it really is so enlightening to learn about yourself and be able to put words to it and be like, oh, that's why I do that. Or, oh, that's kind of normal for my personality type. And this is how people of my personality type overcome that. And I've really enjoyed learning about that.
Well, the CEO has decided once again.
I'm just giving you all kinds of tasks to do.
Yeah, no, this is good. Yeah, we need more tasks to add to our list. You mentioned compassion again, though. Clearly, that must be an important focus for you, the serving aspect of your business and the giving back. Could you talk a little bit more about some of your work with Compassion or any other projects you've done with them?
Well, I've actually recently also did a test called the Strengths Finder test. And one of the things that I really am passionate about is just making a difference and impacting people. And so Compassion lines right up with that. They are a child sponsorship organization that we've actually been a part, my husband and I have been a part of for, I think, over 13 years, just sponsoring children that have become a part of our family in a sense that we write letters to. And so that's just been really amazing to me. And then also, you know, as Jesse Connolly calls us internetters instead of bloggers, since there's bloggers and podcasters and stuff. So as internetters, if that's what we're going to call it, we just have so much access to technology and to influence people and connect with people, and to use that in a way that's going to help people who don't have that access is just such a powerful thing. And so when Sean invited me to think that my words could actually impact the lives of children on the other side of the world that maybe I would never be able to go and help, maybe I would never meet them, but that I was, you know, that things that I shared could completely transform their lives, just kind of blew my mind. And so I love using whatever platform I have to do that, because that, I mean, money isn't a huge motivator for me, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, but making a difference and seeing people's lives change, that is huge. And then just the way it all worked out with Compassion was amazing. I am Filipino, actually. I'm half Filipino, but I never actually knew my mom. So I grew up with my All-American dad and his side of the family, and I never really knew my Filipino side of the family. So when Sean invited me on a Compassion blogger trip, I was super excited just to be able to go. But then when he said it was to the Philippines, I was like, that is such a God thing. And then through more crazy circumstances and Facebook, I got in touch with one of my cousins over there. So that the same day that I met my Compassion child, Marie Kaur, we got back to the hotel, and standing there in the floor-to-ceiling windows on the first floor lobby were 18 members of my family that I got to meet for the very first time. And so it was just a really, really powerful trip for my own life, and hopefully a really powerful trip in the lives of my readers. And I know a lot of people sponsored children, and their lives are changed too. So I just love when people's lives are impacted. So that's just been something that inspires me, honestly, just to keep going. With Hello Mornings, I love, you know, hearing stories of moms who went from feeling super overwhelmed to feeling really purposeful and having order to their day and vision for their life and knowing who they are. And then I love hearing about kids' lives being impacted through Compassion. So that's definitely a passion of mine.
That's an incredible story. That's amazing.
It was pretty amazing to experience. Normally I make people cry when I tell that story, but I tried to do the speed version of it. So.
Well, I had goosebumps over here. So I'm not quite in tears, but it was getting a little misty-eyed over here.
Well, I try not to tell the version that will make people cry, because then I get in trouble for not putting out a warning about it. So I'm trying to have two versions.
That was still a great version.
So, Kat, you've had a lot of success in terms of growing a blog, growing your podcast, now speaking at conferences. But have you had a low point in your blogging or podcasting career? And if so, how did you push past that?
I sort of alluded to it earlier when I talked about sitting there with thousands of women to organize into different categories for Hello Mornings. I had to do that once, and it was right before, or I had to do that several times, but one time in particular, it was actually pretty soon before I was going on the Compassion trip to the Philippines, which for me, I had not really flown very much in my life. I'd probably flown at that point in time, maybe 10 times in my whole life, maximum. And so to think that I was not only going to be flying completely around the world, but the person that I really knew the best was probably Tish, and we'd met once at IKEA. And I knew that I was going to be, at that point, I knew I was going to be meeting my family there, and it was going to be just this really emotional, huge, massive life experience, comparable with any highlight, you know, the biggest moment, one of the biggest moments of my entire life. And I was going with all these people who didn't know. And then I was leaving my kids and my husband, you know, just all these emotions, and then trying to organize people into groups by time zone. And I just felt so overwhelmed. And I remember we were at our church small group, and we sat down. They're like, okay, let's see. Kat, it looks like you have the kids today. And that was just like the straw on the camel's back. And I pretty much just completely melted. And I was just like, I can't do the kids. And I can't take them. So I just thinking of being stuck in a bedroom with all these kids trying to teach them something. And so it was just this sort of hilarious, sort of sad moment where I was like, okay, that was a tipping point, and I have too much going on right now. And that's kind of when I started to step back from Hello Mornings and handed it over more to Katie Orr. And that was hard for me in one sense, because that had been one of the more successful things that I'd done online, that had really built a community and had grown my blog and had a big impact. So in one sense, it was a low point because I was letting go of something that was successful. But then in hindsight, it would have just run into the ground if I had continued on the way that I was with everything going on. So sometimes I think our lowest points are actually just the beginning, the foothills of our highest successes. And it's important sometimes to recognize that and be able to let go if you need to. But yeah, crying when I knew I was in charge of the kids was definitely a low point. I knew I was a bit overwhelmed at that point in time.
Well, I have to say, I probably would cry if I was in charge of the kids over weightless other things going on in my life. I'm a mom to just one right now, and so if I'm watching multiple kids, I easily feel overwhelmed.
Yes, me too.
Beth Ann loves to tell me all the time that I'm the reason why she's not going to have her children close together.
Yes, it's great for some people, but yeah. I don't know. I think maybe I'm just weak-willed. I'm not sure.
Oh, no, but, no. Honestly, you would do fine if you had them all close together, too. You would.
I've kind of come and I have the theory that everything is just as hard for everyone. We just have a wonderful capacity to expand to handle it. And so I don't think it's really any harder for a first-time mom to have one kid than it is for a mom to have four kids, because she's expanded her capacity along the way. It feels just as overwhelming, I think. It's easy to look back. I have three kids, to look back and be like, oh, it was so easy when I had one. But I didn't think it was easy when I had one, you know? And so I think we all are doing our best, and it's all just as – everything new is hard.
I think that's a great point. I definitely agree. And I've heard that from all of my friends and family who have more than one kid.
When I was at the one stage, it felt anything but easy, for sure. And I think you're right that as your life changes, I mean, you get new challenges that come along with it, but somehow it does seem to stay about the same amount of hard, even if it's in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because we're all growing and wanting to grow. So as we have more capacity to handle things, we inevitably add more, kind of like packing for a trip. Even if you have the biggest suitcase possible, you always are looking for that last inch of space to add one more thing. And so I think it's kind of like the same for us as moms. As our capacity expands, we fill it with one more thing. Maybe it's the PTA, or maybe it's starting a podcast or whatever. But I think with one also, it's a little bit harder, because when you have more than one, they can play together. And that is really helpful.
So now that we've talked about a low point with your businesses, is there an accomplishment that you are the most proud of?
I have to say, this might not be the answer you're looking for, but my biggest accomplishments are when I get emails from readers or listeners sharing the impact that something that I've shared has had on their lives, or especially if they say, hey, this is what my life used to be like, and then this is what my life is now, just because of some wisdom you shared from somebody you interviewed, or the Hello Mornings Challenge. Heather McFadyen is one person who is always encouraging. She says, before I met you, before I got involved in Hello Mornings and turned my mornings around, I was, you know, feeling discouraged and overwhelmed. And now she is one of the people who helps run the Declare Conference, and she has this amazing podcast and just this wonderful influence. And so I have to say, people I would rank as my biggest accomplishment. So whether I had a podcast that reached hundreds of thousands of people, whether I had a podcast that reached 10, if somebody's life has changed, that's really to me what matters the most and what makes me feel proud of the work that I've done. That sounds a little cheesy, but it's true. I actually have a little folder in my Gmail that is called encouragement. So every time I get a nice email from somebody that, you know, shares something that I shared impacted them, I just file away in there. So on those days that are a little bit more rough, I'll just go in there and read through those and think, okay, I'm not wasting my time. This is helpful to people, and it just helps me to keep going.
I think that's great. And I know Sarah and I was starting this podcast, and we're still, you know, very new to it, but that's the one thing that gets us the most pumped up too is when, you know, someone will reach out and email us or send us a message and say, hey, I tuned in. I'm loving the advice you guys are sharing, or I'm learning so much and thank you. Or they'll say things like, you rock. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's just, I mean, it's kind of crazy. And we've been able to connect with some of our listeners on a really personal level and, you know, ask them, okay, what else do you need help with? Like, what can we do to help you? And yeah, and it is, it's so rewarding. It's so much rather, and I know Sarah, you agree too, like, we'd rather be able to have that personal interaction with our audience and have that versus playing the numbers game and just, let's see, how many fans can I add? How many of this can I add? And, you know, it's just, it is so rewarding to get to know your readers and listeners on that personal level.
Absolutely. Because algorithms change and that can be really discouraging. But knowing that somebody's life has been impacted, that's something that not only impacts them, but can impact literally generations. And that's a powerful thing.
So, Kat, how does your business help to support your family? And I'm also curious, too, you mentioned your husband is able to work from home. This isn't really relevant, but what does he do? Just because I'm curious.
He actually just telecommutes for a large corporation, and he is a project manager for them. And actually, when we lived after college, we moved to Houston, and he worked for this company, and when I got pregnant, we decided we wanted to move back to Waco because we just wanted our kids to be part of the church we went to, and we had so many lifelong friends there. And so we decided to move, and he said, can I work from home? And they said, sure, for 6 months, and that was 13 years ago. So he just got in on that wave when it was brand new, and so it's just a blessing because my kids don't know what it's like for their dad to go off to work and, you know, all that. So that's been a huge blessing. It's fun for me just to have somebody home when I'm home. And then as far as how it impacts our family, honestly, at this point, it doesn't really. I just kind of leave any income that it generates in an account, and maybe we'll save it for college. I'm not sure what we'll do with it yet, but at this point, I don't want to feel like it is something that we need to depend on. I'd rather it be a supplementary thing that we can use to save for the future, because my priority is ultimately my kids. So if at some point anything needed more of my attention and I need to step down from anything, I always want to be able to do that. So I don't know what exactly we'll do with it, but right now it's mostly just being saved. Probably a really boring answer, but
no, I think that's a really interesting answer, because that is the one thing with an online business or a business that you create on your own, being an entrepreneur. There's that risk factor there that what you have built can more easily diminish, it seems, than maybe a more traditional type paycheck. Mm-hmm. So if you do start to rely on that every month, and something were to change, or like you said, something, a life circumstance happens and you can't put in the time that you used to, that could be a big shock to mm-hmm. a family, I'm sure. It's really interesting to save it as a slush fund.
We've always been really big on trying to live within our means. And, you know, as soon as we got out of college and he got his first job and I got my first job, our whole goal for years, like pathetically, was just to pay off all college loans. And so it got so bad that at one point we lived in Houston, which is, Houstonians, if you're listening, I love you. I lived there. It's a great city, but the weather is like the armpit of Texas. It is just hot, humid, and muggy. And I drove in a car, a 45-minute commute back and forth in traffic with no air conditioning one summer, just because we were so crazy dedicated to paying off our college loans that everything we had went into that. And that just kind of set the precedent for our marriage. And it's really been, I think, a blessing for our relationship and our family just to focus and make sure that we're always living within our means, so that we just don't have that stress of, oh, what happens if my blog, you know, the algorithms change and my blog doesn't do as well, or my podcast doesn't do as well, or just whatever. It's just one less stress to have on a family. And so, anyway.
Kat, Do you have either like a favorite business or blogging book, best advice given to you, or a quote or anything like that?
Book, I like anything by John Maxwell. He writes a lot about leadership and business and everything, and I love all of his books. I just think they have a great blend of business know-how, but then honestly, they're really applicable to motherhood as well. And so I read business books half the time as much for my role as a mom as I do for business. And since a lot of his stuff is about leadership, then it really applies to both. And then a quote, I would say by a quote by Bruce Lee. I'm not related to him, but he says, the successful warrior is an average man with uncommon focus. And I just like how that quote opens up the playing field that anybody can be really successful at whatever it is they want to accomplish. It just takes an uncommon amount of focus, which is hard in this day and age, but it gives me hope that when I'm feeling a little discouraged that, you know, I just need to focus in. And maybe it means I need to cut some stuff out, but most of the time it just means that I need to not let the distractions enter in. And that quote really inspires me because I'm not typically a very focused person. I'm easily distracted. So
I'm right there with you. I need to take that quote and pin it up on my, well, probably not my fridge. That wouldn't help me quite as much. Maybe maybe on the coffee maker. I'm probably over there more.
Kat, you've had some really great things to talk with us about today. We learned a lot. Could we end with a funny or adorable mom moment that you could tell us about?
Sure. I have a little boy who is storing up lots of stories for me. My youngest is a boy and he has two older sisters, so he has lots of people to entertain. So he's a pretty funny guy. And he is 7 years old, and in the mornings he likes to come in. My office is actually my walk-in closet, and half of it is a desk and looks like an office, and the other half holds my clothes. And on the bottom half, I have like a little cushion couch type thing with lights so that the kids can come in the morning and read their books and stuff. So he comes in and he sits down on the little couch thing. And we were sitting there the other morning and all my kids were in here and I was just working. They were all reading. And all of a sudden he says, "I am strong and secure." And then a few minutes later, he was like, "I am deeply loved by many people." And I was like, "What?" And apparently he was playing Bejeweled, and they had these little self-help quotes at the bottom. And so every now and then he's just like, "I am confident in my capabilities." And it was just the most hilarious thing to hear at 6 o'clock in the morning coming from a little 7-year-old boy randomly.
That is really funny.
So now he still thinks it's funny, so he says them all the time, and he hasn't recognized that they've lost their humor ever so slightly, but, you know, he'll learn.
So, Kat, what are the best ways that our listeners could find you in terms of where are you on social media or your website?
Sure. So my websites are inspiredtoaction.com and howtheyblog.com, and from Inspired to Action, you can learn more about Hello Mornings. And then on social media, the best way to find me on social media is probably Instagram, and I am Inspired to Action on there. But all my other contacts are on the blogs as well for the other social media sites. But Instagram is my favorite. So if you want to find and connect, that's the place to go.
Great. Thank you so much. And
thanks for having me.
Sure. Yeah, we've learned a ton, and it's just been great to hear your perspective and your focus on things. And yeah, sorry. I said that sentence very well.
See, that was a great, enthusiastic ending.
I know, that wasn't good. Do you want to try a thank you, Sarah?
You redo your thank you.
Oh, me redo mine?
Yeah.
But now I've flubbed up.
All right, I'll do a thank you.
You can just say, "Kat, you're just amazing." And
Kat, you're the smartest, funniest, most thoughtful person we have yet to interview.
You are confident in your capabilities.
Exactly. But this has been wonderful, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, I really appreciate you guys having me, and I'm excited about your show. I love the people that you've interviewed, so it was an honor to be asked as well. So thank you.
I'm just constantly amazed by how many talented, thoughtful, wise women that we have been able to speak with so far. Women who are shaping their lives around their true priorities. They are moms and they are business owners, and they seem to be able to eloquently combine being a mom and being a business owner. And I know that some of Kat's wisdom I will certainly remember as I try to juggle both motherhood and my entrepreneurial endeavors. If you're looking for the show notes or resources mentioned in this episode, head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/47. We'll make sure to include all of those apps that Kat used all at the same time while she was working. And if you haven't done so already, while you're there looking at the show notes, sign up for 52 Weeks to a Better Business. Each week you'll get a challenge, something to work on, something manageable, and you'll have a group of other women there to help keep you accountable and answer questions. Thank you once again for tuning in. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.